stand up for yourself and take action. At first, I was horrified about getting a restraining order. I was embarrassed and even ashamed. I figured that I had attracted being stalked into my life, and I should take responsibility for it. And I felt guilty about attracting it into my life. But with deep introspection, I realized that I'd never stood up for myself in my life. I never made waves. I was always trying to keep the peace at any cost. The restraining order was the first time in my life that I stood up for myself. It was a powerful life lesson. And from that point forward, I felt stronger and more confident in myself. So both the man and I gained from the experience. Trusting God. But tie up your camel. Even if you don't believe in protection techniques, and you know that love is the greatest protection, and you believe that the angels will always shield you, it's still valuable to know how to protect yourself. Be willing to take action in the rare event that you need to. In life, we can trust in spirit, but it's also valuable to take positive steps to protect ourselves. So if you're considering taking a shortcut through a dark alley in a dodgy area of town and think everything will be okay because you've shielded yourself, remember you need to do your part too. Sometimes energy protection isn't enough. You have to also take action, and perhaps don't take the shortcut. I believe in seeing the world in the best possible way and being optimistic in life. However, I also believe the Middle Eastern expression, trust in God, but tie up your camel. What does this mean? It means to trust that all is well. However, even though you trust God to watch over your camel, it's your job to tie him up at night so he doesn't wander off. You need to help out too. Trust in the qualities of light, gratitude, and joy. But in the rare event that you're a victim of a psychic attack, it's good to be prepared to take action. I think it's like trusting that you will have a wonderful journey in your car and surrounding your car in white light, but also using your seatbelt. You are prepared in the event there's an accident. You've taken physical action as well as spiritual action. One night, as I was just about to drift off to sleep, I remembered that I'd forgotten to close the door to the chicken coop. It was cold outside, and I was so warm in bed, I thought, it'll be okay. I'll ask the angels to protect the chickens. I called on Archangel Michael to stand at the door to the coop to protect the chickens during the night. I trusted that all was well. In the early morning, I dreamed about three small piles of black feathers outside the chicken coop. The dream startled me. I threw on a robe, ran up the hill to the coop. Just as in my dream, there were three piles of black feathers. And when I went into the coop, our rooster, Gatsby, wasn't there. A coyote had gotten him in the night, and all that was left were three piles of feathers. Gatsby was a gentle rooster, a gentleman. That's why we named him Gatsby. And he was gone, simply because I didn't tie up my camel. It's a lesson that I've never forgotten. It wasn't enough to call on the angels. I should have also taken action. Sometimes thinking that nothing will happen, or thinking the angels will protect you, isn't enough. Sometimes you need to be proactive. It's okay to protect yourself if you feel you need it. In addition to the physical actions you can take to stay safe, there's some very valuable techniques that anyone can use to help protect their energy field so that you feel centered and strong no matter who is around you, no matter what is going on. Preparation for protection and psychic defense. Here are some tips for preparing to protect yourself. Do these steps before any shielding method you choose. 1. Tune in. Every morning, take a moment to center and ground yourself. Tap into the place within you where deep and profound peace dwells. Connecting with that place allows your energy field to be stronger and more vibrant during the day. Throughout the day, take time to raise your awareness and sense your energy fields by asking, "What is true for me now?" The soul loves the truth, and this spiritual practice can help you be aware of the strands and cords of energy around you. Take time to periodically notice the people you're with and the environment you're in. Notice if there's parts of your body that feel affected. It's important to get this baseline, and as you get used to doing this, you'll know better when to protect yourself and when not to. 2. Distance yourself. When you discover someone or something that lowers your energy, step away. Rather than immediately raising your shield, sometimes simply putting some physical distance between you and the other is enough. Create a personal boundary through space. You can also disassociate emotionally. Don't react and don't take things personally. Detach yourself. It's not about you. Don't feed their drama. Often your own negative response to someone can hurt you more than their negativity. Change the focus of your conversation. They start moaning about Cousin Billy in a negative way. Talk about the roses you saw on the way to work. They want to talk about their problems. Shift the focus to supporting them and finding solutions. It usually doesn't work to try to change another person's perception, but you can respond rather than react. 3. See through the eyes of the other. Facing the deeper truth is not always easy. Imagine that you're looking at the world through the eyes of the person with whom you feel you may need to protect yourself. Even though it's hard, try to see their point of view. You don't need to accept it. You simply need to understand it. The more you can have compassion and understanding of the person you feel is draining your energy, the less they'll be able to deplete your energy. This exercise softens the polarity between the two of you. 4. Visualize your day. Take time to visualize your day and see yourself relaxed and energized throughout the entire day. 24 minutes is the optimum amount of time to take to do this. 1 minute for each hour. However, even 60 seconds of visualization can make a difference. Be positive. Focus on things that make you feel great. Immediately check yourself if you find you're dwelling on lack or worry for the day during your visualization. Deliberately change your state of mind and delete limiting thoughts. Shift to something that brings you joy. This exercise keeps your energy vibrant throughout the day, and thus you're less likely to need shielding. Methods for protection and psychic self-defense. Whenever you're with other people, your energy field is affected. It's often difficult to tell what's yours and what someone else's. However, there's some very valuable techniques that anyone can use to protect their energy field if needed, so that you feel centered and strong no matter who is around you. My suggestion is to try to find them all and figure out which one works best for you. Protection Method 1. White light. Often when we see paintings of saints, they have a glow around them or a radiant halo. Sometimes this light is called Christ consciousness. It represents beneficial positive energy. In The Wizard of Oz, Glinda, the good witch, shows up in a radiant bubble. All that is good is inside the bubble. For this protection method, the white light method, you're creating your own bubble of dazzling white light. Visualize a sphere or ball of white light in which to encompass yourself. This is one of the most common and effective ways of protecting your energy. Visualize that any energies that are not needed simply deflect or bounce off the sphere. The effectiveness of this method depends on the clarity of your intention and your ability to focus and direct that intention. Simply imagining a ball of white light surrounding you can be effective in most normal situations. But when creating a powerful protective force field, here are some of the things that can help magnify its effectiveness. 1. Imagine an egg-like sphere surrounding your body. It should project out from your body no less than a foot, no more than 3 feet in all directions. 18 inches is usually a good standard. This sphere is filled with sparkling white light. The sphere has a very strong surface. It can be compared to bulletproof glass. You can see through it, but it's very durable. 3. Check the entire surface for any small tears, cracks, or even wrinkles. Also, notice if there's any thinning of this shielding material. Ideally, the surface should be as smooth and reflective as highly polished glass. 4. If there's anything that needs repair, imagine that you have some cosmic glue or a magic wand to fix it. The outer surface should be so smooth and slick, nothing can attach to it. 5. Be aware that only the highest and finest beneficial energies can come through the strong but semi-permeable lining of your white light sphere. Your energy can flow out of it, but only the pristine frequencies can come into it. It is an invisible, formidable force field. You can use other colors besides white for your orb. You can imagine a sphere of pink light around you, which encompasses you in a loving energy. Or you can visualize an orb of green light, which embraces you with healing energy. Golden light often connotes the heavenly realms as well as inner wisdom. Or your sphere can be violet covered, moving from the negative to the positive. Imagine that you are in the center of a sparkling, glistening violet light. The violet light has the ability to transmute and dissolve dark energy into the light. It can help you release challenging energy from your past. It can also transform fear and angst into love and delight. All that is not needed is dissolving as this shimmering light surrounds you. Sometimes it's helpful to imagine a semi-permeable membrane at the top of your sphere through which white or golden light cascades from the heavens and radiates down through you. Only heavenly light force energy can come through the opening. And at the bottom of your orb is a one-way drain, so that all that is not needed can empty into the ground to be neutralized. Nothing can come back into this opening except that which is for the highest good. Many years ago, I had a friend who told me that the white light saved her life. She was crossing the road when a car came barreling straight toward her. She said, "Denise, I didn't have any time to run. So I threw my hands over my head, grabbed white light, drew my hands down as if closing a shade. Instantly, I was encased in white light." She continued, "The car skidded to an immediate halt and stopped just at the edge of my white light shield. The driver got out. He was really shaken, and he was incredulous. He said it was like he hit some kind of invisible force field, and it stopped his car. 'What happened?' he said. 'I could have killed you.' My friend told him about the white light, but he went away shaking his head in disbelief. I'm sharing this with you because I want to let you know how powerful the white light protective sphere can be. However, from my perspective, if a car is racing toward you, run. Don't walk to get out of the way. A great idea is to white light yourself before you go out for the day if your intuition warrants it. Protection method number 2, talismans. A talisman is something you place on your body, either around your neck in a pocket or something you carry with you, such as a purse that has objects in it that have protective qualities. They are often hidden, but they could also be on outward display. Amulets and talismans with the specific purpose of protection are common in most religious and spiritual traditions. Christians use the cross and the rosary. Muslims use the hamsa. Shamans in native cultures have medicine bags or medicine bundles filled with sacred objects that all serve as a protective force. Every native culture has a tradition of using talismans. In ancient burial sites throughout the world, archaeologists have found amulets that were thought to be used for protective purposes, even into the afterlife. In ancient Egypt, amulets were put on the dead to protect them as they traveled to the underworld. Although in Western culture, we don't have a strong tradition of amulets and talismans. Even in modern days, however, they're used. When someone wears a lucky charm or carries a rabbit foot, this is an echo of carrying a protective amulet from earlier times. I was at a funeral for a Navajo Native American recently. It was a Christian service, but my friend's medicine bag was placed with him in the casket for protection on his journey into the afterlife, along with a large Christian cross. When astronaut Edward White went to the moon, he carried with him a gold cross, a Star of David, and a St. Christopher medal. A modern talisman can be something that was blessed by a holy person, or it can be a stone or crystal that you've cleansed and blessed for protective purposes. It can also be a small object from a beloved relative, such as a grandparent or ancestor, that's meaningful to you. It can be herbs, such as sage or rosemary, which are traditionally used for protection. Even a small stone in a necklace or a purse or pocket can help create a protective shield around you. Here are some stones that are often used as protective talismans. Black tourmaline, black obsidian, Apache tears, onyx, smoky quartz, bloodstone, and jet are all excellent to repel energies that are not beneficial. These are the best stones to use to protect from heavy energies. Amber is excellent for protection from negativity. In ancient times, the Romans used amber extensively for this purpose. Halite, which is rock salt crystals, is superb for grounding and protecting. If you live in a humid area, keep your halite in small plastic bags so it doesn't weep and stain your clothes or purse. Agates of all kinds have been used to dispel negative energy. You should pick out your own agate. Choose one that feels powerful, because the protective qualities are not consistent from stone to stone. Blue lace agate is excellent for protection for children. Celestine, malachite, and quartz crystal can create a soft, loving orb of energetic shelter. These are all excellent for children and the elderly. They are gentle and should be cleansed periodically, especially the crystal. To cleanse a crystal or any of these stones, run it under cold water for 3 minutes, or leave it outdoors under the stars and moon overnight, or in a rainstorm for 3 hours. Talismans are believed to hold great power, but they react to your intentions and your belief. If you believe an item contains potent energy, then it will offer protection. If you believe it doesn't, it won't. In my time in native cultures, I've been offered objects of power. It's an honor to receive them. Once I was given the dried afterbirth of a reindeer that brought strength and protection to a Laplander shaman. It was a special gift, and I knew that this object was powerful to the shaman. But to me, it looked dried, ugly, and unsanitary, so it didn't hold a safeguarding energy for me. I didn't believe in its power, hence it had none for me. A Native American showed me that in his medicine bag he had scalps from men he'd killed in Vietnam. He said they were part of his protection, but I was horrified. For me, these would have been a negative energy, but for him, they were an attribute of being a strong warrior. When choosing items for your protection, notice your beliefs about the objects and be very clear on your intention for the amulet. To get started, make or purchase a small bag or pouch to keep under your clothing where it can't be seen. 3 inches by 3 inches is a good size. It can hang on a cord around your neck, be kept in a pocket or in your purse, or you can hang it off your belt. Decide what objects you want to place in your protection pouch. I suggest starting with a piece of obsidian and some dried sage. Over time, you could add other objects, or even written words on the paper, such as, "Archangel Michael protects me." Bless the bag by holding it to your heart and saying 3 times, "I am safe and protected. All is well. I am safe and protected. All is well. I am safe. I am protected. All is well." Protection method 3, shielding. When I was in the outback with the Aborigines of Australia, I was given a woman's shield. It was a narrow piece of wood, about 6 inches wide and 2 feet long. I couldn't imagine it could shield anyone in a battle because it was so small. However, I was told that as soon as a woman held it, her energy was shielded. It activated the kind of force field around her. When I heard this, I understood. Shielding yourself is creating a field of energy around you in which you are safe and protected. It's different than a white light sphere because it's an actual physical shield. Shielding doesn't mean that you're closing your heart, and it doesn't mean you're disconnecting or shutting yourself off from others. It does mean that you have very clear boundaries. Putting your shield up will help you avoid getting caught in the drama of another person. Your intention isn't to separate yourself from others. Your intention is to continue to stay in your own energy. By shielding, no matter where you are in your own energy field and not mingling with the energy of others. Remember the phrase, "What is mine and what is yours." People who are empaths especially need energetic shielding. An empath feels everything from everyone. It's like they've left their front door open and the folks they don't even know are dropping in, sleeping on their beds, eating their food, leaving their garbage, even moving in. If you're an empath, learning how to shield yourself can be the equivalent of locking the gate into your yard so that only your energy is contained in your garden and in your home. Shields up! Anytime you feel the need for shielding, imagine that you are holding a shield in front of you. You might imagine a Roman type of shield, a Viking shield, a Native American buffalo skin shield, or even a Wonder Woman shield. You can hold your hand in a fist at your solar plexus as if you were holding a physical shield. You can also imagine placing your shield around you before you sleep so it provides a dream shield, containing your energy while you sleep. To create your personal shield. 1. Imagine a shield. Visualize a shield similar to the shields that a knight of the round table may have had, but made of light and energy. It's incredibly strong but lightweight. The energy radiating from the shield surrounds your entire body. The shield could be clear, silvery, golden, or even decorated with gems such as rubies. 2. Visualize symbols. In your mind, place symbols on the shield that feel protective and powerful to you. Some people put crosses on their shield to represent the Christ light. Some put hearts to symbolize love. Some put a pentagram. Others put images of gods and goddesses, such as Kali or Kuan Yin. Imagine your shield in any way you choose. If it helps, you can also make a drawing of your shield to enhance your visualization. You can keep your drawing between your mattress and box springs to deepen and strengthen your shield during sleep. 3. Bless and empower your shield. Go on an inner journey with your shield. To activate its power, imagine holding it up to the heavens to activate the spirit of air within it. Then visualize rain, the waters from heavens, cascading over it, imbuing it with the spirit of water. Now imagine that lightning strikes it, bringing forth the strength of the spirit of fire. And last, imagine holding it to the earth to activate the spirit of the earth. Then take your shield and hold it to your heart to imbue it with the energy of love. You now have a very powerful shield. Protection Method 4. Mirrors. There are several mirror ball protection techniques, and they're all excellent. 1. For protective shielding, imagine that you're inside a mirrored ball. The exterior of the ball is a shiny black mirrored surface. Only positive energy of the highest frequency can enter. Everything else reflects back. This works especially well for psychic attacks. 2. Another method is to imagine that you're surrounded by a ball of energy, but the mirror is on the inside. So on the first method, the mirror is on the outside. This method, the mirror is on the inside. This way, your energy bounces back to you and doesn't seep away. It stays contained. You are in your own energy field. You can also have both a mirrored inner surface and a mirrored outer surface. 3. This third method is only for the most serious cases. It's highly effective but should be used sparingly. If there is someone who is very overbearing and you just can't seem to keep your own energy field intact around them, this is what you might use. It must be used with compassion and not out of anger or fear. This is important because you're directing this at another person rather than focusing on yourself. For this method, imagine that a mirrored ball with the mirror on the inside surrounds the person that you feel victimized by. If they send out loving, joyous energy, it bounces back to them magnified. However, if they send out unkind energy, it's also magnified and bounces back to them. So any less than positive energy that they may send to you stays inside the mirrored ball. Protection Method 5. Crystals. Crystals have been used in culture around the world for protection and for energy activation. Here are the steps to use crystals for protection. 1. Choose the right crystal. To help you decide the size and shape of your stone, determine if you're going to wear your protective crystal, keep it in a medicine bag, simply have it near you, sew it into your pillowcase, or tape it to your solar plexus with medical tape. That's the first thing. Then decide if you're going to use a polished, faceted crystal, a natural stone, or one that's been tumbled. When shopping for a protective crystal, it's best to let the stone choose you. What this means is when you're picking one out, notice the crystal that seems to call you to it. It will somehow seem shinier and brighter than all the rest. 2. So you've chosen your crystal. The next step is to cleanse your crystal. Leave it out in the sun for 5 hours or rub it in one direction with eucalyptus oil. Alternatively, washing it with peppermint soap and cold water will also cleanse it. Crystals have very fluid energy and thus need to be cleansed often. Other stones like jet or obsidian don't need to be cleared very often. 3. Dedicate your crystal. Hold it up to your third eye and say, I dedicate you to protection and strength. I am safe, protected, and well. 4. Use your crystal. Hold your crystal in your dominant hand and sweep it over your body 3 times. Make sure you go over the top of your head and also the sides of your body as well as down your front. When you take the crystal over your head, hold the intention that the sweep goes down your back as well. If you need extra protection, sweep it over your body 9 times. This method will encompass you in a cocoon of safety and protection. Protection Method 6. Sea salt. Since the beginning of recorded history, there have been accounts of salt being used for protective purposes. Of all the things used for protection around the world, salt is the most ubiquitous. It's used for safekeeping in every corner of the world. In some cultures, it's sprinkled along windowsills to keep out negative energies. In other cultures, the floors of a new home are sprinkled with salt, and then the salt is swept out. It's believed that the salt absorbs dark energies, which are then swept out the door. Some societies have traditions of keeping salt in a person's pocket as a protective measure. Even in modern times, we have a tradition of throwing salt over our shoulder to fend off unwanted energies. To use salt for protection, you can place a small chunk or a few granules of it in your medicine bag, or carry a small amount tied in a black silk bundle in your handbag. You can sprinkle a circle on the floor around your bed to sleep in its protective energy at nighttime. Alternatively, you can place a small amount of salt in the corners of your home to create a protective energy there. Now, if you live in a humid environment, the salt should be placed in small containers. Otherwise, it will attract and release fluid, which can leave salt stains on your floor or furniture. You can also use salt lamps. These are made of carved out natural salt with a light bulb inside to create a protective energy in the space where they're placed. These salt lamps are said to emit beneficial negative ions. This is one time when negative is good. These ions cleanse the air. You can also take a few drops of essential oil and place on your salt lamp to deepen the protective energy. Protection Method 7. Adopt a protection tree. Trees can offer an incredibly sheltering force, especially if you've attuned to one's energy. You can adopt a tree in your yard, your neighborhood, a local park, or on a walking trail. Choose a tree that calls to you, then create a connection. To do this, lean or sit against that tree for at least 15 minutes and send love and gratitude into the tree. Imagine that the tree has a voice and listen to what it tells you. As you build a relationship with your adopted tree, talk to it and give it heartfelt thanks. An energy bond is then created between you and the tree. Those who can see energy will be able to detect the beautiful large cord of light between the two of you. Anytime you need protection, simply think of your tree, and the cord will plump and your energy will be grounded and strong. It might sound strange, but one of the fastest ways to clear your energy is to either hug a tree or put your back up against the tree and allow the healing energy of the tree to cleanse and ground you. This works especially well if it's a tree that you already have a relationship with. Meditating near it or simply putting your hands on it will encase you in a sphere of protection and grace. Protection Method 8. Essential oils for energetic shielding. In addition to their cleansing properties that we discussed in Chapter 3, essential oils are excellent to use for protective purposes. When I'm going into a situation where I feel the need for a protective mantle around me, I use essential oils. And also, as a general rule, I usually carry a small bottle or two in my purse, so I always have some with me. The olfactory sense is closely connected to our emotional system more than any of our other senses. When we use essential oils, a powerful link is created between our physical realm and the psychic realm. That link is grounding and protecting. In many cultures, essential oils are used for protection. For example, the Sherpa in Tibet use juniper to rub into their ropes to help protect them on their treks. Here's how you can use oils for protection. You can rub them in your hands and inhale. I usually place 3 drops into my palms. I rub my palms together, cup my hands over my nose, and then I inhale 3 times with the intention of guarding my energy. Then I use my hands as a kind of fan, and I brush the scent down the top of my head and down my body. I also go over the back of my head with the intention of sweeping the back of my body with the protective scent. This encompasses my entire body in a protective shield. Sometimes I'll place one drop on my throat, one on my third eye, and one on the top of my head, and then a fourth at the base of the skull, all to deepen the protection. An oil diffuser can also be very helpful when protecting a larger space or several people at a time. You can also mix essential oils with water and use a little mister, similar to what you would use to mist your plants, to spray your body and your clothes. I often travel with a small mister to keep a protective mantle around me on my journeys. It cleanses and uplifts my energy, and it can protect me as well. When choosing which oils to use, remember that within your soul is an innate wisdom that absolutely knows what oils are best for you and what oils you need for particular protection. So take time to tune in to your inner knowing before you choose your oils. Note, while essential oils are a natural substance, some people have skin reactions when in direct contact with essential oils, especially on the delicate skin of the face. Always use care when putting oils directly onto the skin. Essential oils can be mixed with carrier oils, such as jojoba oil, carrot, apricot kernel, or sweet almond oil. If you have sensitive skin and wish to use them directly on your body, you might consider adding the carrier oil. Here are some essential oils you can use for protection. Most are good for both clearing and protection. Basil. This oil blends well with lemon, lemongrass, orange, and rose. Chamomile. Blends well with rose, lavender, ylang ylang, neroli. Cedarwood. Blends well with sage, cypress, and frankincense. Cypress. Blends well with frankincense, peppermint, cedarwood. Clove. Blends well with cinnamon, cardamom, and orange. Eucalyptus. Blends well with lemon, peppermint, thyme. Fir. Blends well with neroli, citrus oils, pine, and juniper. Frankincense. Blends well with rose, cedarwood, myrrh, and sandalwood. Juniper. Blends well with evergreens, such as fir and pine, rosemary, verdiver, clary sage, lemongrass. Myrrh. Blends well with frankincense, clove, sandalwood. Orange. Blends well with thyme, eucalyptus, and other citrus oils. Patchouli blends well with bergamot, clary sage, peppermint, and geranium. Peppermint blends well with grapefruit, rosemary, eucalyptus. Rosemary blends well with citrus oils, tea tree, peppermint, and fir. Sage blends well with citrus oils and cedarwood. Verdiver blends well with pine, basil, rose geranium. There are many other essential oils you can use for energy protection, but these are some of the basics. Protection Method 9, Meditation and Visualization. Almost any kind of visual meditation will strengthen your energy field. For example, close your eyes, relax, and imagine that you're in a very lush place in nature. Surrounding you is the brightest, most radiant light you've ever seen. See it grow in intensity and power. Imagine strands of energy from the stars, the sun, the moon, the earth are flooding into the light as it grows even brighter and more sparkling. And you are at the center point. As you open your eyes, hold on to the meditation by trusting that this incredible light will continue to surround, protect, and safeguard you. This meditation works well for protection because you are so bright, nothing can penetrate your energy force field. As a daily practice, take a moment to ground and center yourself every morning. A good way to do this is to imagine a cord of energy flowing from the bottom of your feet into the earth. Then, in silence, sink into the place of profound peace that dwells within you. Doing this allows your energy field to be stronger and more vibrant during the day. Protection Method 10. Prayers and Mantras. Saying a protective prayer can give you an immediate connection to the divine. For some, the Lord's Prayer does this. For others, a prayer to Christ, Mother Mary, Allah, Buddha, Yamaya works. Saying a prayer to whatever your spiritual source is with the intention of safeguarding your energy works. Whenever we get into our car for a long journey, we say a prayer. It seems simple, almost childlike, but we are safe and protected after we do it. Here is the protection prayer we use. Angels in front of us. Angels behind us. Angels to the left and right of us. Angels above us and below us. The wings of angels surround us. We are safe, protected, and well. And we visualize the wings of angels surrounding each occupant of the car. Another prayer I use is the Japanese mantra, Namu Amida Butsu. For me, this is powerful and immediate protection. I lived in a Zen Buddhist monastery for several years, so I have an affinity to Buddhism. And Amida is one of the loftiest ideals in Japanese Buddhism. Loosely translated, this mantra means, I take refuge in the light. Namu Amida Butsu. I take refuge in the light. I've experienced miracles using this. One time, my husband David and my daughter Meadow and I were in a small car in the winter driving through the Cascade Mountains. We hit an ice patch and our car spun around and was careening towards the edge of a sheer cliff. I shouted, Namu Amida Butsu. And the car stopped almost instantly, about a foot from the edge of the cliff. It was an incredible moment. Another time I was sitting in a small coffee shop with a friend, Katie, in San Luis Obispo, California, when a magnitude 6.4 earthquake hit. The floor began to roll and things were falling off the shelf. I grabbed Katie's hands across the table, looking into her eyes, and began to chant, Namu Amida Butsu, Namu Amida Butsu. Even though things were crashing down around us, we experienced a calm serenity. Katie said that the moment felt holy to her, and it certainly did to me. Here's a fun, easy, effective protection method using visualization. Imagine that there's a cosmic zipper in front of you, starting at the base of your feet. Imagine zipping your energy up into an energy sphere, and as you zip all the way up, cover your head. You can leave a small opening at the top to allow celestial energies to flow down around you. You can also place your hand near your pubic bone and imagine that you're holding a large zipper there, and then physically move your hand all the way up to the top of your head to zip up and encompass your energy. You can use this exercise with prayers or mantras or chants. Protection Method 12. Mudras. A mudra is a way of holding your body that initiates a particular kind of energy. Many cultures use mudras to activate different kinds of energy. A shielding mudra is created by standing tall, weight equal on each leg, and then clenching your hands into fists, crossing your arms at the wrists across your chest with force. Do this 3 times, each time with force, and your energy will be shielded. Also, there are subconscious mudras that are protective. Simply holding your arms over your solar plexus is a kind of mudra. It protects your solar plexus from negative strands. You'll notice this is something that people do automatically if they are in uncertain situations. If you are someplace where you feel your energy sagging, simply cross your arms over your solar plexus. It should help you immediately. Protection Method 13. Angels, guides, spirit guardians, and ancestor protectors. Those in the spirit realm love to offer assistance and keep you safe. Simply call upon your angels, your spirit guides, and your spirit guardians, and instantly there can be help available. Call upon Archangel Michael to surround you with protective, loving energy. Imagine that this huge, powerful Archangel Michael is standing behind you with a sword of light, protecting you and keeping you safe. His wings of light are embracing you and holding you in a cocoon of safety, no matter where you are or where you go. In Western culture, the power of our ancestors is undervalued. However, in cultures that revere and honor their ancestors, their forebears are their most powerful advocates and protectors. You share the bloodline of your ancestors. They want to support you. Utilizing the protective ability of your ancestors is simply a matter of asking. You can humbly say, I call upon my ancestors from the beginning of time and forward for support and safeguarding. Alternatively, if there's a particular ancestor you knew or were close to when they were alive, you can call upon them. For example, you might declare, Uncle Joe, you never took any guff from people when you were alive, and I admired that about you. I'd love your help so I don't continue to be upset by the guff that I get at work. Help me stand in my own energy. Thank you so much, Uncle Joe. When you call upon your spirit helpers, always remember to give thanks. Usually you can feel their help immediately. In Chapter 5, I'll share more information about how to call angels into your home and into your life. Protection Method 14. Earthing yourself. In Chapter 1, you learned about the various strands of energy that we have connecting us to the earth and all of nature. Beyond simply offering connection, Mother Earth's energy can protect you and ground you. Simply lie on the earth, either on your back or on your stomach, and imagine that you are giving your challenges to Mother Earth. Visualize tendrils of her energy lovingly reaching up and surrounding you with strength. Call upon her consciousness to surround you with a grounded, mighty mantle of protective energy. You can also stand barefoot on the earth or place your hands on the ground to do this. Walking barefoot on wet sand near the ocean can dispel negative energies and can strengthen your energy field. If you are not able to easily get outdoors, simply use a houseplant for earthing. Touch its leaves to ground your energy. If the energy being cleared is very dense, it may have a debilitating effect on your plant. So watch carefully to notice if your plant begins to wane. You may need to give it time to recover before using it again. By earthing, you are literally plugging into the earth's electrical field, and you will feel her neutralizing all that is not needed in your energy field. Mother Earth is the ultimate healer, and she can synchronize your biological rhythms. It really works. It's believed that when one feels out of sorts, simply lying on the ground brings things into balance. When you are in balance, your energy field is strong, and thus there's a protective mantle around you. All of the above methods work. It's simply a matter of trying each one out to see which one works best for you. Subconscious shielding. There are some people who never do any protection methods, yet they are naturally shielded. Caregivers, hospice workers, hospital staff, and teachers sometimes find that their energies are depleted by those around them, unless they've developed natural, often subconscious, shielding methods. If you work in an area where most feel depleted and you don't, it may be that you have some very strong spirit helpers, or that you've developed a kind of subconscious shielding that keeps you in a balance, especially in those times when your energy is low. What do you do after your energy field has been diminished? If you find yourself the recipient of an energy loss or a psychic attack has left you debilitated, even after you did protection techniques, here are some things you can do to reset your energy. Stomping. Simply hitting your heels hard on the ground as if you were making the rhythmic sound of a drum begins to knock out energies that are not helpful to you. Stomp to some kind of rhythmic music or drumming for at least 12 minutes, and it will help clear your energy field. Additionally, listening to the sound of a drum or drumming with the intention of clearing your energy field can also work. Hot shower, cold shower. Take a hot, or it can be warm, shower, but then turn the knob to as cold as you can handle for a few minutes. If you can stand it, do a 2-minute icy cold shower. It is highly beneficial. Then turn on the hot water again to warm up and end with another icy cold shower. You can repeat this several times. Rapidly going back and forth from hot to cold shakes off old energy. It's a bit like a dog who shakes hard to get water off his coat. The cold water is not just a shock to your physical body, it shocks your energy field, and as a result, old energies can't cling to you very easily. Additionally, scrubbing with salt, either during the hot phase or the cold phase, will help restore your energy. Protecting others. As a general rule, it's not a wise use of energy to do protection methods on others without their permission. It also implies a kind of judgment about them, that they need protection. I wouldn't want someone to be placing a protective mantle around me without my permission. Would you? Please don't do it. However, this is completely different with your children. Surround them in a loving bubble of pink light in the morning as they trot off to school. Ask that angels embrace them in wings of light. Adopt a tree in their honor and ask that the tree protect them and keep them safe. You can also do protection methods with close family members, as your energy is already interwoven with theirs. One of my clients did a protection method for her husband, who was having severe breathing and coughing problems. He was also having a challenging time at work. His office environment had a lot of toxic energy. She didn't tell her husband that she was doing the protection process, but his coughing stopped at the exact time that she started the process, and his health catapulted into vitality. She wrote to say the results were remarkable. Aiming energy, projecting prayers. There are times when it might feel right to aim protective energy at another. Aiming energy is different than doing an energy protection. It's focusing an instant, potent stream of protective energy around another. It is direct and deliberate, like a laser of light force, and it is used for emergencies. For example, if you see a dog crossing a busy road and there's nothing you can do physically to protect him, instantly cast a shimmering radiant ray to encapsulate him in protective light. You might imagine that this light cascades down from the heavens into your body and then projects out of your solar plexus chakra or out of your heart chakra to him. Another example might be a child you see being mistreated in a store. You might intuitively sense that to chastise the parent might eventually cause more trauma for the child, who might be the recipient of the parent's anger at you for interfering. But you can aim energy and protect prayers that surround the child and the parent with the energy of compassion, forgiveness, and love. Additionally, if there's an area of the world in need or an area that's in harm's way, you can pull out a map or bring up Google Earth on your computer, focus on the area, and then proceed to aim energy and project protective prayers to that area. Hold the intention that it is for the highest good of all concerned. In this chapter, you've learned about what protection is and have understood when it might not be a good idea. Additionally, you've gained knowledge about psychic attacks, why they happen, and how to prevent and diminish them, as well as some awesome protection methods. In the next chapter, you'll learn ways to stay in a balanced, strong energy field on a consistent basis. Chapter 5. Strengthening the strands that empower you. Everything in life is vibration. This quote is widely attributed to Albert Einstein. Most people spend valuable time focusing on what they don't want and on what's not working in their life. They replay over and over something unfair that the boss said, or they wish their neighbor would move because they don't like the loud music they play, or they're unhappy because of their weight. However, it is an energy rule that what you focus on is what increases in your life. Where intention goes, energy flows. Where intention goes, energy flows. Someone who for years constantly thinks about how overweight they are continues to be overweight. This could be because they will talk to everyone about how overweight they are. They think about it incessantly, and they judge themselves for it. They spend so much time focused on how overweight they are that it becomes the reality. Someone who is always ranting about the music of a neighbor often continues to have loud noises in their life. In the previous chapters, you've learned what energy strands are and how to release ones that diminish you, as well as how to protect yourself. In this chapter, you'll learn what you can do to increase the positive strands that connect you to the universe and how to keep your frequency humming along. You'll learn how to expand and plump up the strands that are anchored into you that are positive and glowing. This will bring more vitality and will expand your life force energy. You'll also learn how to create a sanctuary in your living space so that your personal energy field stays strong and vibrant. Communion cords with loved ones, even at great distances. I woke up in a panic. David, wake up. I shook my husband to wake him up. He's a heavy sleeper, so it wasn't easy. What's happening? He managed to groggily mumble, although he was still half asleep. I dreamed that Heather was in a small boat at night in high waves. It was really cold. One huge wave washed her overboard into an icy dark sea. It was so real, David. I'm scared. He said, honey, go back to sleep. It was just a dream. And he rolled over and went back to sleep. But I couldn't go back to sleep. I loved my sister, Heather, and I was worried. Something was happening to her. I knew it. I immediately began projecting prayers towards her and surrounding her with protective white light. At that time, Heather was working as a mariner on a research vessel, but I didn't know where in the world she was when I had the dream. After much tossing and turning, I finally fell asleep again. In the morning, I continued to surround her in a bubble of light. Back in those days, there was no way to contact my sister when she was at sea. So 2 weeks later, when she returned, I shared my dream with her. Heather was quiet for a long time. Then she told me that on that exact night of my dream, she had been doing work on a ship off the Aleutian Islands in the Alaska waters. 11 of the researchers and crew had gone ashore on a small island, but a storm emerged, and the waves became too rough to try to retrieve them and get them back to the ship. The researchers and crew were going to be stranded on the beach in Unimak Island on a stormy, below-freezing night with no protective gear. The crew on the ship was extremely concerned about the survival of the people on the island. So Heather and another crew member bravely decided to get into a small inflatable boat called a Zodiac and maneuver through high waves to try to get the necessary survival suits to the island. Huge wave